All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you are holy and good, that you are in our presence, Lord, that you are with us. Father, we ask right now that you would be with us as we look to your word. Father, thank you that the truth of your word is life and light. Lord, that it is salt, it is blessing, it shows us the way. So, Father, as we come to your word, as we continue on in our series, Lord, we ask that you would bless this time, that your word would touch us, not only in our minds, but in our hearts and souls, Lord, that we would be different because of the truth of your word in our lives, Lord. Father, I pray for each person here, each family, each one, Lord. Father, we pray that... We pray for spiritual healing, for physical healing for those who are in need. Lord, we pray that we would be always knowing that we can come to you with all that we have, Lord. That you are with us, that you are walking with us, that you are interested, that you are intimate and involved in our lives, Lord. I just pray that you would protect us and make us a blessing with the truth of your word as we learn here, not just to learn and to grow for ourselves, but to be transformed by the gospel and to be transformed in a way that we give away what you are giving to us, Lord. So we come now, speak to us. May we be present in all the different ways here, Lord, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Lord, speak to us now. We give this time to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, guys, we're continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've got our last three messages ahead of us today, and then two more weeks in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we continue, just a reminder that you can also find the bulletins about this to follow along the study guides. In the back, so as you head out, you can pick up the study guides, and they are for the classes, for your personal study, just to so that Sunday morning is where we come and hear the word, but my hope and prayer is that it's the beginning of the week of your study on this scripture, that as you continue to go through this, God will be bringing more and more things to your heart and mind, so find those studies in the back. And so let me ask you this. If we seek God, if we really seek him, what kind of a God are we going to find? A good father? A good father. A good father, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot. When I say the word God, what comes to your mind? I want to hear from you. Peace, joy, perfect, love, passion, awe. Grace. Ooh, I like grace.
And mercy.
And mercy. Amen. Amen. We have a good God, don't we? We have a very, very good God. And I want as we talk and as we go through the word today, I want us to have that. There is a very important theology. It's extremely important. God is good. God is good. And if we believe that, if we know it, if we experience it, it changes a lot of different things. So we can come to a God with all that we are, all that we have, all our junk, all our blessings. We can come to him as we are. Hear from him and move forward in his blessing. Matthew 7, starting in verse 7, is where we'll pick up today. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now, I love this because ask, not. I was talking with Jim and going over some notes, and one of the things was these are all freedom words. These are all freedom words. Freedom words. They are initiated by God to come as we are. But it's our decision to come as we are. Are we willing to come? What causes us sometimes to not want to come to God?
Fear.
Fear? Fear of what? Being...
He knows everything.
He knows it all, doesn't he? He knows the good and the bad and the ugly. He knows it all. And so sometimes coming to him means what? Humbling ourselves and coming and saying, God, forgive me. So there's a lot going on there, but it starts out with ask. And ask in the quiet of your spirit. In the quiet of your spirit, speak with God concerning your need. And humbly ask him to hear your prayers. Asking God. However, if asking doesn't appear to succeed, seek. Learn to seek for the blessings you desire as people seek for hidden treasures. Have you ever seen anybody, have you ever watched any of those shows where the people are looking for treasure? And as they talk about it, it's like their eyes get really big and kind of glaze over. And it's their focus, it's their desire. But those treasures are going to pass away. But what if our eyes glaze over and we get excited and we get all bug-eyed for God? What if it's God and the love for him that causes us to be excited about who he is and who he is in our lives? So we seek, as we seek him, we learn to seek for the blessings. And after all asking and seeking, if we haven't heard, if we don't feel like we've heard, it's knock, knock. Come to a closer and more hands-on approach. Don't just use the voice, speak to him from the soul. From the soul. Use every effort to win after what we're seeking. The idea with the knocking is there's something physical there, isn't it? There's something that's we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking. What is implied with these three words? They're all what, first of all? Verbs. And they're all implying that we're yearning after God. And we're willing to seek him and continue seeking. And we're going to ask and we're going to seek and we're going to knock and we're going to keep moving forward and keep searching out for the heart and the truth of God. The lips ask, the heart seeks, but the life has got to knock. All we need to be heard by God is to look beyond ourselves for help. There's no criteria. There's no list of things that we have to accomplish. There's no hoops that we have to jump through before we can come into his presence. Just think about that. What is it like if you want to see the president of the United States? Is it easy to get a showing with this guy? Is it easy to speak to a king? Is it easy to speak to somebody in authority? Often it's not. And yet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is available to all of us. At all times, we can come to him with our heart's desire. Let's continue on. Actually, before we continue on, let's hit 1 John 5:13-15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. What's the confidence we have in approaching God? We have eternal life through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, resurrection, through believing in him and what he's done. And because we have eternal life, because we have a relationship with God, this is our confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Think about that. Imagine having everything you ask for. What's the danger in having everything you ask for? Get spoiled, right? That's exactly what I think. You get spoiled. What if you ask for the wrong things? But what's it saying here? Because of our confidence in approaching God and who he is and our relationship with him, now we ask for anything according to his will. Because now, because I've gone from spiritual death to spiritual life, I've been changed from the inside. Now what I desire is different than what I used to desire. And as I continue to work out my salvation, to grow in my walk with the Lord, more and more of what God desires for me becomes part of my prayer life, becomes part of my connection with Him. And now it's less of how it comes from me and what I want for me here and now, and more what God wants for us. And I'm the one changing from the inside out. We have an initiation, we have an invitation to come to God as we are and to choose the way of costly grace. And the reason we say costly grace here is because we can come before God and we do. He is loving. But for us to come to Him in relationship as born again, guys, that wasn't a small thing. The grace that we experience in God, the grace to be able to come to Father as we are in our relationship with Him, it cost God His Son. Christ had to pay for our sin so that we could be with Him. There's a great cost to that. And as we grow in our walks with Him, and as we're in prayer with Him and talking with Him and asking and seeking and knocking, that awareness of what He's given for us becomes more and more apparent. We give up our wants and desires for His purpose in our lives. Matthew goes on in verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Anybody, any parent ever done that? It's an expensive trip to the dentist. Boy, I tell you, you don't want to do that. But how cruel would that be? It's talking about the cruelty. You know, which of you, if your son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? I've eaten snake. It's not nearly as good as fish. It's very chewy. It's kind of like chewing a rubber band. But if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? You ever seen the way a child looks when you give them a gift? Guys, we've got these boxes going out to children. If you haven't had a chance to get one of these shoe boxes, pray about it. Pray about it. Because these kids are opening the box. They're having gifts come in it. And then there's the greatest gift of all, which they get to hear the truth about the gospel. What a powerful gift. You know, it'll be interesting. All the different things we do, all the different ways that we reach out to people. I think it's going to be really interesting when we get to heaven to see who's there and how God used different relationships and used us in the lives of people. And salvation belongs to who? God and God alone. We're not called to save anyone. I can't die for anyone's sin. I can't even die for my own sin. But we're called to be the ambassadors. We're called to give the good news. And so as we come, as we give, if we're willing as parents to give good gifts to our children, think about this. How much more is God willing to give His children, us, good gifts? There is, think about Christmas when you give your child a present or on a birthday, or how great does it feel to see their eyes light up and they get excited, and why? There's something joyful as a parent. One of my, you know, they've got the what is it, the four love languages. You know what one of my main love languages is giving gifts, is gift giving. There's something about it. I love to receive. I love to give. I love, man, because you see somebody just brighten up and enjoy. How much more does God love us? And He wants to give us good things, good gifts. Does that mean that he is going to make a way so that if we come to Christ, that we're going to have no more problems in this world? What's the good gift God gives in that area? What's that? Salvation, eternal life with him, a hope, a purpose, a reason. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's walking with us through it all. So we don't have to wait till we die to experience his goodness. We can experience the kingdom of God in part now, his presence now. Guys, that's exciting. That's so exciting. And then it goes on in verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Anybody know what this is called? The golden rule. Deal with others the way we would have them deal with us. What does it say? Do to others what you would have them do to you. The golden rule. Yeah. We are not commanded to love as if we're giving our own resources for other people. Guys, if we give what we have, it's not enough. It's going to come up lacking. Instead, we receive God's love and forgiveness, and then we share that love and forgiveness with others. We give because we've received. When you receive forgiveness, what happens? Do you feel a little lighter? A little more whole? I want to ask this question. And this is for every single person, including me in here. Is there anybody in here that you need to forgive? Is there anybody in your lives from years back? Anybody in your family? A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, an uncle? Who did something that was wrong, or maybe many things? Is there anybody that you've kind of forgiven a little bit with your mouth, but not with your soul and your heart? Yeah. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As I need forgiveness. I also know that we all need to forgive those who have wounded us. Because those wounds, when they go unchecked, they just affect every area of our life. And we start to just meditate and brew the anger and the hurt. And it goes from bad to worse. Do we forgive because people deserve forgiveness? Or do we forgive because Christ first forgave us while we were still in our sin? And I don't know why, but I just feel like the Lord is putting on my heart to stay here for one more beat. Is there someone you need to forgive? I really want us to pray through that. Because there's such joy and a healing for the one who forgives. What happens if I don't forgive? Now I've got that between me and that person, and when I've got that, what happens? It starts affecting my mind. It starts becoming a part of me. And that unforgiveness becomes a part of my identity. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up what? The law and the prophets. What's the law and the prophets? The what?
The Old Testament.
The Word of God, right? This sums up God's law, God's truth, God's Word. That's a pretty powerful statement. You know what? It can come to this. Love God, love others. Give away what you've received from God. John 13, starting verse 34, says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you, what? Love one another. Love is powerful, isn't it? Love is powerful. Love covers what? A multitude of sins. How many sins? A whole multitude, a plethora. A whole lot of sin. God's love covers my sin. Because God gave himself now, how do I respond to others? How do I give that away? Is there anyone, any situation that you need to go back and forgive? We love, we forgive, we love because he first loved us. There's a truth and power in that. God's grace allows people to come to him. And the challenge is to choose his way, which is narrow. It's a narrow way. The goal is, do we choose his way and it's a narrow path, or do we choose something else, a more attractive, a wider road? Matthew 7:13 says it this way. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. I just want to sit on that for a minute. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. We can't pass over that without having our hearts break. Many are on the road to destruction. There's people we know and love, and many we don't, who are on a road to destruction, to eternal separation from God. That can't be just a line in a book. It's the truth of the Word of God, and it's got to affect us. Our hearts need to hurt with that. There needs to be some kind of a response. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. As Jesus makes it clear here that the narrow way is not obvious. Why? Because few find it. And so that's the calling to the church, to have a few more find it. Salvation doesn't belong to us, but being ambassadors of Christ is. Are we sharing with the people around us the truth of God's love? Are we risking relationships for what's of eternal value? Are there people in your life that you know that you've loved, that you've spent time with, that you enjoy, that you have, that they've never heard who Jesus is to you? Because if they're a true friend, if you really care for them, or even if it's someone you've just met and you've got a blessing to give, and we shouldn't hold on to it ourselves. The next series that we're going to hit after, starting in 3 weeks, is reaching out near and far, how to reach out to our community, and then also looking at missions and where's our focus. And boy, I tell you, this is just kind of getting our mouth wet, are just kind of getting the taste buds moving. Pavlov's dog, the saliva starts to go. Yeah. My hope and prayer is that as we're looking at the truth of this, that the gate to the Lord's truth and to his presence is narrow, that it would spur us on to be passionate about sharing his love and sharing his word. Guys, God wants to give his love through us. We are a chosen vehicle that we are a process that he uses. The church, the people, not the building, the people, is how God has chosen to move forward. So we've got a calling, and we need to take it to heart. Romans 3:10, this isn't on the overhead, but I wanted to read this to you. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Think about that. Now, you may know people who are on the journey, but we don't seek God unless he first seeks us, unless he's drawing us to him. And this is saying, ask, seek, knock. Come to him. Come to him for others. Come to him in prayer.
People will not and cannot come to Christ
strictly on their own efforts. So what needs to happen? Where does it start? What do we start doing before we start sharing? Praying. Guys, maybe there's somebody that, as we've talked about, who you haven't forgiven. Don't start with talking to them. Start with praying for them. Start with going to our source, going to God and praying, God, change my heart for this person. Because if you're in a place where you can't forgive them yet, God, please change my heart so I can forgive them. I'm not there yet, so change me right now. Because if I'm honest with you, God, you know what I want for them? I want justice. I want justice. They deserve some wrath, God. You ever been there in your prayer? I've been there. Because I'm so broken. I was hurt by the wound. And my heart wasn't in a place to change yet. And so I said, God, you got to first change me. So that I understand how much I've been forgiven. So I want to forgive. So I understand that I didn't deserve to be forgiven. And yet I want to forgive.
John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Father, God, must draw us, must draw the people, and we are free to respond to him. But it requires a response. Have you ever been asked to a party? How great was the party if you didn't go? Right? I think of the prodigal son, and most of you, I'm sure, know the story of the prodigal son, and the son gets his inheritance, certainly goes out with wild living and wastes it. And the good son who's there, who's doing all the right things, day after day, is there doing the right things and not wasting his money. And the son, the prodigal son, finally runs out of everything, is eating pig slop, and decides, I want to at least go home and be a servant in my house. And so he goes out, and his father meets him and rescues him and brings him in and puts a coat on him, a ring, and shoes, and brings him home. My son's home. He throws a huge party for him. And the older brother, who's done all the right things, comes out of the party, or is outside of the party, and says, what's going on in there? And he's missing the joy of the celebration of the son. Why? Because he hasn't forgiven his younger brother. He hasn't forgiven his brother. Why? Because what his brother did was unforgivable. Think about it. He said, Dad, you're taking too long to die. I want my inheritance now. I wish you were dead and you're not. Give me money. Can you think of anything more cruel a son could say? And the father forgives and races out to meet him. The older brother doesn't experience the joy of the party. Why? He's in his bitterness. He's in his brokenness. And he's saying that guy needs to pay for what he's done. Guess what? Jesus paid for his sin. He paid for my sin too. He paid for your sin. This is a narrow gate. It's a narrow road. I want us to think about that for a minute. It's a narrow path to get in. It's a narrow gate. We have a world right now. We have a community. We have the culture that says what? It says, man, be a good person, right? Be a good person. It doesn't really matter the specifics of what you believe. What really matters is your heart, that you're good and that you believe in a higher power. And that's all that's... What is this thing? What does God's word say? What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a narrow gate. You know what? That's an offensive gate. because it says there's no other right way. And if I want to have my will more than God's will, and I'm saying I'm not willing to do that, then I'm on the wide path. And I've got a lot of people with me. But guys, my heart and prayer is that our hearts change from the inside out, that we start seeing the people out there not as how they affect us, but how God loves them and wants to minister to them through us. We're to ask, seek, and knock. We're to get involved. I want to end with this. Ask, seek, knock. All these things are talking about communicating with God, praying to God. When we pray, when we stay after God, when we are approaching Him and approaching Him and seeking His will and seeking His will, has anybody ever had that time where He says, I want to answer your prayer, but I want to answer your prayer through you? You've been praying for this person for a long time. Now go talk to him. You've been praying for this to happen. Go be a part of the solution. Often when we pray and when we seek God and when we're seeking Him, He's not only working on the person that we're praying for, He's working on us. And He's changing us from the inside out so that we desire to become God's hands, that we desire to be used by God for His purposes, eternal will, His eternal purpose. And guys, when you are used in the life of somebody of bringing the gospel and God saves them and brings them to Him, is there anything sweeter in life than knowing that you got to be a small part of what God did to do His will? There's nothing sweeter. And it's a narrow path and it's a narrow gate. And so we need to be on mission. We need to be praying, asking, seeking, knocking, getting involved, pursuing, and taking pleasure in it, enjoying the moment of it. When we're about God's business, it's not all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Our pleasure and our passion is what God has called us to do. And now we know that what we're doing has eternal consequences. And God is using something as broken as me to bring eternity the way He wants and in His time to others, just like He used others in my life. Tom Shaw led me to the Lord. Funny man, godly man, a man so full of life. He was this incredible guy who met me right where I was at, who knew the good and the bad, who had known me for years and still loved me and pursued me. He had been my camp counselor year after year. He'd known me from years before then at the same Lakeside Bible camp. And when he was the speaker years later, he gave the gospel, and it was because of the relationship we had. For the first time, I'd gone to church, but for the first time, I listened to what was being said when somebody was giving the gospel. And God said, Matthew, it's your day today. I am so thankful Tom Shaw loved me all those years. And he loved me enough to get involved in my life. You know what? He didn't spend hours with me. He had the moments he had with me, he made the most of them. A little can go a long way, guys. Let's pursue the people around us. Let's give those moments away to him. Let's be on target. Let's be focused. Let's know that the gate is narrow. And let's reach out and let's take as many as we can and share God's love with as many as possible in ways that they can connect with the truth and love. And how I share with one person is going to be different because the Holy Spirit's leading me in a different way because it's his work through us. Ask, seek, knock. Guys, we have an approachable God, and he is good. Let's share this approachable God with the people around us. Let's let others get in on the good stuff. It's worth sharing, isn't it? God is worth sharing. He is worth sharing. Let's give him away. And let's be quick to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Lord, not one of us deserves to be with you for eternity. Not one. And yet you've provided a way for us to know you and experience your goodness and to stand with you in eternity, to be your children forever and ever. Father, we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for that gift that we didn't deserve. We thank you for the grace and mercy that you show us. Lord, we pray that as we've gone on this path, Lord, that there are people around us who haven't gone on this path, who don't know about the path. Others who know, but they don't really know. They know information. They don't know your presence and your love and your truth intimately and personally. Father, I pray that you would be speaking to us, changing us, giving us a new passion, a new pleasure that takes our greatest pleasure in the things that are eternal. Father, may we be like our Heavenly Father who gives good gifts. May we give those good eternal gifts away to the people around us. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.